Certainly good to be here this evening to see all these faces. It gives me great pleasure this evening to introduce our speaker, my son-in-law and brother, Gordon McCann.
Thank you. Good evening. I kind of felt for my brother this afternoon. Last year I had the opportunity to preach at that time, and you know, there's something about preachers. You know, you get used to preaching in the morning and you get used to preaching in the evening, and so you're constantly going between this morning, this afternoon in our sermons, you know. So prepared to come and speak to you, I didn't know for sure that I was going to speak, but I was forewarned. And as I took the opportunity to approach the Lord in prayer, I feel that He directed me in a certain way. When I was had an opportunity to go back to the April Ministers Conference, my brother and Elder Samuel S. Gould handed me a dream or a vision that he had, and I periodically go through the things that have been given to me. I'm trying to make a collection and put them on the computer so we can have them. And as I knelt in prayer and asking the Lord concerning what I should bring to you this day, this revelation or vision came to my mind, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord come over me. I'd like to read it to you first, I guess, before I get too far involved. He has written, on November 5th, 1988, I had a night vision in which I saw myself standing in the midst of a great brilliant whiteness wherein a voice, Jesus Christ, I believe, commanded me to stand and speak. And I saw myself stand and speak the words found in the message below as the Spirit of God rested upon me. And then it goes on to say, given through Elder Samuel S. Gould on November 5th, 1988. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door knocking, ready to come unto thee, O my people. Hearken unto my words with all your hearts in consecrated service. Ye are of one faith, one baptism, and one purpose, united in desire to build up and establish my Zion. This is pleasing unto me, the judge of all the earth, but ye must give more diligent heed unto my commandments, which have been delivered through my servants, that ye may be freed from the bondage of Babylon, that their efforts be not frustrated, for that evil power has laid an exceeding cunning plan for thy utter destruction. I will be your deliverer if your obedience to my gospel is sustained through mighty prayer, out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that your desire for my return be perfect. Now I am pleading, that I may stand in your midst, saith the Lord. I've been given many different revelations and things from the past, and from time to time, as I've read them, I've felt a very strong presence of the Spirit of the Lord. And in this one in particular, I had that same experience where I felt the Lord very strongly as I read it, and as I read it tonight. And I feel it is of the Lord, and it's a message to all of us in the Church of Christ. Before I get going too much further, I want to point out one thing. In Alma, in the first chapter, you find that on page 301, starting with verse 37 through 38, I want to read this to you and help you to understand how I feel about things that are given to the body of Christ and how I treat them for myself. And it says here in the 37th verse, and it says, when the priests left their labor to impart the word of God unto the people also left their labors to hear the word of God. And when the priests had imparted unto them the word of God, they all returned again diligently unto their labors. And the priest, not esteeming himself above his hearers, for the preacher was no better than the hearer, Neither was the teacher any better than the learner. And thus they were all equal, and they did all labor, every man according to his strength. I believe that with all my heart. And as our brother spoke about this afternoon, that he recognizes faults within himself, I too have faults. And your other ministry have their own faults as well. But in all this, that we're in our endeavors, each one of us in our particular labors, to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to take this revelation and kind of step through it with scripture, that we might become more familiar with it. The first part of it, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door knocking." There was a scripture that, you know, pretty much says that in Revelations in the 3rd chapter, in the 20th verse. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." I think the key words here is in the 20th verse, "If any man hear my voice and open the door." Here the Lord, in this vision of our brothers, the Lord is standing at our door, knocking, as a people, as a church. And he's asking us that we might open that door. At the last part he says, "Now I am pleading, that I may stand in your midst, saith the Lord." And he is there. And we've heard testimonies concerning that we're right on the threshold of something that we can have in our midst. And yet we haven't crossed that point or whatever it is. And there was our brother Marvin spoke about some of the ways in which we can maybe try to prepare ourselves to cross over, that we might receive those things. Basically, opening the door for the Lord. If we would truly consider ourselves and how we might objectively look at ourselves in prayer, I think the Lord could open our eyes to the things that we can do personally to help this body of Christ cross over that veil. In Romans, in the 12th chapter, and I read this just the other day in my sermon in Phoenix, but I'd like to bring it to your attention tonight. And it'll be somewhat of a rerun to those that heard it in Phoenix. In the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The first paragraph in this, remember right after "I stand at the door knocking," the second sentence says, "Hearken unto my words with all your hearts in consecrated service." Consecrated service. I want you to consider that. It's pretty much what Paul is talking about here, where he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You have predetermined to follow God and his precepts. You are setting yourself apart to be a part of this body of Christ. And it's a daily walk, as it says here. And it's your reasonable service, as Paul says. And so that's what the Lord is asking you. He's not asking you something that is unreasonable. He's asking you something that you can attain, something that you can do. It's within your grasp. And how to do it is not to be conformed to this world, to the things of this world. It is so easy to be caught up in this world. All we have to do is turn on the TV, and you can be caught up in the world. That's how easy it is. Or turn on the radio. It's so easy. But he says, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. By the renewing of your mind. And that's the key, the renewing of your mind. I guess I want to emphasize that, like I did the other night, is that I posed the question to Rebecca Orr. I asked her, what is the church? What is the church? She said, it's the people. I said, that's right. It's the people. You are the church of Christ. Each one of you that have taken on the waters of baptism and made that covenant. You personally made a covenant with God that you would follow after Him. That you would do the things that He taught that came from His Father. Right? I want you to think about that thought that you, each member, is part of the body of Christ. And one of these days when you're at home and you're looking into the mirror, I want you to take a little time and look in that mirror. And really look in that mirror and realize that that person you're looking at is a member of the body of Christ. You're a member. And now when you're in there and you're looking in that mirror and that you're realizing you're a member, now look deeper. What can I do to help this body? That we might fulfill the will of God in these last days. We've got a great work. And it's not just the ministry that's going to do it. It's the body of Christ. Each particular member in this body. You have a role. You're not insignificant. You have a responsibility. Search out those things that is in your hands that you can do. It's funny. When I was over there at the high school, there was a little poster and it had Lincoln's face on there, and it had some sayings that Lincoln had made some statements. And the last statement he said was, "You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they should do for themselves." I can't do it for you. Brother Don McAdoo can't do it for you. Jay can't do it for you. You could do it you can do it. What they should be, that they should do for themselves with the help of God. In 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. I can't emphasize that anymore than what our brother Paul has spoken of here. I want you to realize, if anything, that those of you that have taken on baptism, you are part of that body. You have a responsibility to that body, as well as to yourselves. And if you would go along and read this, you could find that Paul emphasizes that. But I want to drop on down to the 27th verse. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Don't forget that. And what bonds us as we can read over here in Ephesians, if I can get over there, in the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 7. Paul understood the working of the body as a unit, that it was important. And if the body was weak, it was because its members were weak, and that there was problems within that. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And you have been called out of the world in the vocation of Jesus Christ and the gospel that he brought to this world, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's part of your work. You should strive in all your efforts to maintain unity within the body of Christ. So all your motives and everything should be towards that end. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. And there's one Lord that we worship, one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, because of his Spirit. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So it is with this particular message. He reminds us, as I have reminded you in the Scriptures, in this vision, it says, ye are of one faith, one baptism, and one purpose, united in the desire to build up and establish my Zion. We can go to 1 Nephi to read a little bit about that. It'd be 1 Nephi 3, 183, which is on page 37. This helps, I would think, as he has mentioned this. He's tried to focus our thoughts and our attention, since we are of one faith, one baptism, and one purpose. Now the Lord is trying to focus us, as we come to that understanding, as to what our goal is. What are we striving for? He says, united in desire to build up and establish my Zion. And as you have been able to study, there's a lot that is involved when it uses the word Zion. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by the abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. So he's talking about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious, and after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren. Behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And so that's how we have it today. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation, and blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, and they shall be lifted up, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. So we are to work and strive towards bringing forth Zion. And I realize that there's a lot of thoughts that would go through your mind as you would hear that word Zion. In part, it talks about the gospel as being Zion. In part, it talks about the gathering as part of that Zion. Living in a state of pulling or going back to to Missouri at the days of great tribulation to escape the wrath of God is part of Zion. There's a lot of aspects of it. The most important is carrying the gospel and preaching it in the last days and living it in the last days. And the promise comes that the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost would be there with those who would seek to bring forth His Zion. And he goes on to say, "This is pleasing unto me, the judge of all the earth, but ye must give more diligent heed unto my commandments, which have been delivered through my servants, that ye may be freed from the bondage of Babylon." Those of you that were able to attend the Arizona reunion, our brother Sheldon preached a very powerful sermon concerning coming out of Babylon. He even wrote an article, and I think that was included in the Zion's Advocate. And here it is again, warning the people of Christ concerning the bondage which Babylon can be. How you can be bound by the things of this world very easily. Our brother spoke about some of those things. How Satan can devour our people. And it's through the weaknesses of the flesh that he is able to do that. I guess I can't say anything more concerning how he wrote this or how it came forth concerning the commandments and how they've been given to you. We've heard today, we've heard the day before, and we hear on other times past when your ministry has stood before you, when we've heard times in Sunday schools, and we have been taught the words of Christ. We can't claim ignorance. And the Lord is reminding of us of this, and that we should be more diligent to listen to the things that have been taught and to apply them in our lives as members of that body, so that we might be able to escape those things that he's talking of. And then it goes on to say that their efforts be not frustrated, for the evil power has laid an exceeding cunning plan for thy utter destruction. And that's already been covered by my brothers before. The craftiness of Satan and his desire for us in our destruction. And you can't be warned any more than what you've already been warned. There are things that we can do in our lives to avoid those entrapments of Satan. And we've also been given those things that we know that are true. If we'd exercise our faith, we could see the results of those things. How we can avoid them. In Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, a lot of times when this particular scripture is quoted, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, the first part of it is emphasized, and I agree with that, but I want to take it on down and emphasize the last part as well. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In our brother Marvin's testimony this morning, he spoke of diligently seeking God in prayer. There has never been a time in my life, and this will be a testimony to you, that when I sought the Lord diligently, that he didn't answer me. That he didn't work in my life for whatever problem it was. I opened the door through diligence to the Word of God and really proved to him I wanted his help. That I needed him and that I needed answers. And that's what the Lord wants from each one of you. That you diligently seek Him. not haphazardly, not in passing, diligently. It takes work. It takes a commitment. Consecrated service, in the words of this vision. Diligently. In Galatians, I like these few words of Scripture. It gives you hope. In the 6th chapter, in verses 9 through 10. And I have personally have seen the evidence of good things when I, one, diligently sought the Lord, and then when I also remembered these two verses of Scripture. And it says here in the 9th verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I think one of the easiest things, and easiest weaknesses of mankind, is to become weary. And in this world, sometimes we can very easily become weary of doing good. What's the use? A guy can go out here and he can kill his wife or do whatever he wants to do, and it seems like he gets away with it. What is the use? Where is the justice in this world? There is justice, but not in this world. And that justice will come forth, and we will be able to see it. Don't be weary of doing good. As members of this body, be as our great example, Jesus Christ. He was sacrificed unworthily because of us, our sins. But he never became weary of doing good that we might have eternal life. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we may not reap until the day we stand before the presence of our Heavenly Father. We don't know when that'll be. We can reap also in this day as well. The Lord says, I will be your deliverer if your obedience to my gospel is sustained through mighty prayer. Out of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that your desire for my return be perfect. So he's giving us the path that you and I can walk from this day forward, that if we would humble ourselves, as our brothers before me have said, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, diligently seeking the Lord in prayer, we can realize, we can open the door to the Lord. There's many examples in the Scriptures concerning prayer. For the ministry, I will give one example that we might want to consider. We may be ourselves engaged in already. In the second book of Nephi, the 15th chapter, starting with verse 4, that's on page 165. I'll start with verse 3. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, and especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and my eyes water my pillow at night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith. And I know that He will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. Those beautiful words to Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. And feeding them, it is our responsibility to care for them. And one way that we can care for them is to pray in a manner that is outlined here as a body of ministry. That our diligent, earnest, fervent prayers in behalf of each one of you, that God would consecrate them to your good. In Alma, in the 16th chapter, this is a good example for us all. As individuals, as our desires that we might present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we might be consecrating our lives to the work of the Lord and one to one another, building up the body of Christ, on page 430, we find an example of the things that we have the opportunity to pray about. So let us read it this time. Starting with 219. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when you are in your fields or when you're laboring at your work, wherever you may be. Yea, over all your flocks, cry unto Him in your houses. Yea, over all your household, both morning and midday and evening. Yea, cry unto Him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto Him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto Him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also the welfare of those who are around you. So that is our reasonable service. These are the things that we can approach the Lord in prayer. That we might open the door to the Lord. That He would stand in our presence. That He might help us in these last days, that we can foul or defeat Satan and his destruction that he would have for each one of us. I can't emphasize to you enough concerning the body of Christ. If it is divided, if it is not in unity, if it is sick, we will not progress in the work of the Lord. If it lacks, the work of the Lord is going to lack. Do you understand the responsibility that is laid upon your shoulders? You took upon that responsibility. Let us all live up to that responsibility. work diligently with yourselves and with one another. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Tomorrow we have an opportunity to come before the Lord in prayer and in fasting. We come before him to renew our covenant, to reflect on our baptism, that covenant that we made with God. Let us do so earnestly and diligently, with a mind and a desire to serve God. And the best way to do that is to serve one another. May God bless you in your endeavors of serving one another.
Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock will be our sacrament service. At noon, our meal will be at the Clifton Hall. Is there any other announcements?
I'd like to urge the members as much as possible for the sacrament tomorrow morning. Come fasting and prayer to our service tomorrow morning. And then remember those that have asked for an answer in our prayer for their loved ones.
We'll close the number 223. Let us stand. Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful for this time we've spent here this evening. We are thankful for the words that's been brought to our attention, and we pray that each one of us might take them to heart, and that we might truly open that door and allow the Lord to come in. And we pray that we might seek him often in his direction, that he might guide us and direct us, that we might not go astray, but that we might follow after his ways, and that we might be an instrument in his hand, that we might be of use, that we could lead others unto him also. And we pray that we might not be a stumbling block before anyone, but ask a blessing for those that are kept from our midst for one reason or another. And we pray that you'd go with us this day and in the days to come, and we pray that you'd be with us on the morrow as we meet together again, and we pray that thy Spirit might be there as it has been today, that each one of us might continue in this spiritual feast that we are enjoying. We pray that in the name of Christ, amen.